message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
Praise the Lord. We're starting a little bit early so as to be able to power up distance that we have tonight. Welcome you to the service tonight. I know that none of us here will go back the same in Jesus' name. What God has in store for you, I trust Him that He will do it in Jesus' name. If God permits, towards the end, we'll be able to do a little bit of more worship. And if possible, we can also praise Him more. Praise the Lord. I've been on our series from famine to feasting. This is the part 3 of this series. How many of us have been blessed since this series started? If you have been blessed, shout hallelujah. If you have been blessed, shout hallelujah. In this series, we started the first week showing us the keys to move from famine to feasting. And we said the number one is assessing the blessing of God. Assessing of the blessing of God through God-first mentality. Assessing the blessing of God through God-first mentality. God-first mentality. That is, you take God as the number one factor. Love Him more than any other. You adore Him more than any other. You honor Him more than any other. He is your all in all. Anything that comes to your mind, the first thing that comes to your mind always is your God and your Lord. That is the first person. When money comes to your hand, it is God that you think of first. When you wake up in the morning, it is God you think of first. Before you put food in your mouth in the morning, you want to think of how to communicate with Him, how to study His word, you know, etc. The key that we looked at is the key of helping the poor or assisting the less privileged. Helping the poor, assisting the less privileged was the second key that will help you to move out of famine, to move out of scarcity, move out of want, to move out of scratching the ground. That is the second key that we looked about. The third is diligence, hard work, diligence and hard work, diligence and hard work. Everyone that wants to exit the place of scarcity must be hard working. Must dislike anything that is called slothfulness. Must dislike anything that is called laziness. Number four that we talked about, the key that will move you from famine to feasting, is a life of obedience to God and His word. Obeying God and obeying His word always leads you to blessings. When you obey God, when you listen to His instructions, and you obey His commandment, you enter into fortune. I've never seen anybody that obeys God's instruction and has regrets. I'm yet to see one person that obeys God and obeys God's instructions and then ends in lack and want. Of course, we went further, number 5, to talk about hiding your thoughts. If you really want to walk in prosperity, you want to walk in abundance, you want to walk in feasting, you want to be in surplus, then you must guide your thoughts. You can't think poor and end rich. You can't think poverty and end in prosperity. You can't. I also said it that if you cannot think it, you cannot have it. You can't get it if you don't think it. The man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So your thoughts will affect your behavior, and your behavior will affect the condition of your environment. That's why you must condition your thoughts and guide your thoughts. Even the Bible encourages us on what to think of. I think in Philippians chapter 4 verse 8. The Bible tells us specifically how we must think. It says this is how to think. It says finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. This is how you must think if you want to be prosperous. Think of what is true, and it is true. At 3 John verse 2 says that God wants you to be blessed. He wants you to be prosperous. He says things that are true. He said, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on this thing. So, your thoughts, if you continually and continuously think negatively, you end as a negative person. You end without blessings. And I pray for somebody here today, all the blessings that is yours, you will not miss out in Jesus' name. I'll move on to number 5. Number 6 is total trust in God. Total trust in God. Total trust in God. Total trust in God. If you want to move from famine to feasting, you must trust in God. The seven, we talked about knowledge. You must acquire knowledge. In the field of your work, in your area of specialization, you must get knowledge. You must get information. You must get information. You must know what is relevant in your field. You must not work with archaic information. The Bible says in John chapter 8, verse 32, that you will know the truth, and that same truth will set you free. So knowledge has the capacity to change your life. Knowledge has the capacity to bless you. John 8, 32. Joshua, I pray for somebody here today that the grace to acquire knowledge shall come for you in the name of Jesus. I'm trusting God that every one of us here this year will become very knowledge crazy. I've said that if you are knowledge lazy, you are failure crazy. If you are knowledge lazy, you are failure crazy. That is, you are desperate for failure. If you are knowledge lazy, you are failure crazy. So you must seek for knowledge. Can I tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, beloved? There is nothing valuable that is found on the surface. Nothing valuable can be found. Everything valuable, you have to search for it. Oil, you have to dig and dig and dig and dig and dig and dig and dig. As much as people know that there's so much money in oil, how many people are into oil? To get oil is not easy. Get gold is not easy. Get copper is not easy. Everything valuable, you have to search for it. So if you want to move from famine to feasting, you have to seek knowledge. You have to seek knowledge. You have to look for knowledge. You have to be hungry for knowledge. Of course, number eight, where we stopped last week, moving from famine to feasting, is maintaining a lifestyle of excitement. Maintaining a lifestyle of excitement. Ensuring that you stay excited. No matter the circumstances around you, no matter what the economy is saying, no matter what your pocket is saying, no matter how tough things are, we must endeavor to remain excited, remain happy, remain joyful. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So we'll move on very quickly tonight to number nine key. Moving from famine to feasting is avoiding life of waste. Can we take care of the children? Avoiding waste. God does not like waste. And a waster has no future. I want to tell you this tonight. You know that a waster and a lazy person, they are from the same mother. According to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 9. Proverbs 18, verse 9. Both of them were born by the same mother. He also that is slothful in his work is the brother to him that is a great waster. When you say somebody is a brother to somebody, what does that mean? We're born from the same mother. So wasters and those that don't work, they are the same thing. So it's important for every one of us not to waste resources. This is talking about extravagant lifestyle. This is talking about wasting money on things that we don't need. A new iPad comes out. You want to buy a new clothes, every new fashion in vogue at that particular time. You want to buy it. You want to use a wristwatch of 1 million naira when your salary is just 50,000 naira. Little blessings that God is bringing is just going into the drain. And some people, they waste so much money, they eat more than their stomach can contain. And so their soccer way is always full on time. A life of waste can never attract God's blessings. Imagine a young boy who is just starting life using 4 phones. And out of the 2 phones, maybe 2 are iPhones there. A young boy, what does he want to use it for? Each one has different features. The only feature he should face now is his studies, how he wants to graduate and start his life. You know that there are some universities in this country that they don't allow phones on campus. You cannot take, if you take phone on campus, that they catch you, they will sack you, they will dismiss you straight. In this Nigeria. So how can a young student, the university that say, okay, they allow phones, you now have 4 phones. Somebody who is not even a student is going about looking for capital. And you have 2 phones and you are looking for capital, sell the 2 phones and use it to start your business. Or sell one of the phones. Or sell the 2 and buy a Palasa phone. Maybe it's for them to hear you and listen to. If you need browsing, go and browse for somebody. Life is in faces and men are in sizes. In the future, you can decide to even buy a phone of 250,000. That is your level at that time. But as at now, if you cannot afford it, you don't need it. A life of waste is a disgraceful life. In John chapter 6 verse 12, John chapter 6 verse 12, after Jesus had given them so much food, he said, go and gather. He said, when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Gather up what is remaining, that nothing be lost. Jesus could have said, I have so much. I can even create much more. Just 5,000 men without women and children that I fed now. I can even feed 1 million. So leave that one, forget it. One of the reasons why some of the countries of the world that used to do very well before are having problems now is because they wasted their resources. They wasted, when money was coming, they wasted it. When opportunity was coming, they wasted it. May you not waste your opportunities. I said, may you not waste your opportunities. May you not waste the resources coming into your hands. Not every money that comes to your hand that is for spending. There are some money, they are called seed money. You plant them into businesses. You plant them into God's work. You plant them into areas of lives that can cause them to come forth. It's not everything that comes to your hand that is for spending. There are some that are for investment. The waster has no future. Very often, when people begin to waste, if you notice wasters, they are also very envious people. Because when somebody wastes his own resources, after some years, those that invested their resources, they will start to envy them. And what is he even doing? We graduated together. You graduated together, but you did not plan your life the same way. You graduated together, but when they were trying to put some money aside to do something, you were squandering it, spending it on all the latest things in this world. May God give us understanding. I said, may God give us understanding. There was a guy called the prodigal son. He says he spoke to his father and said, Daddy, please share the resources that we have between the two of us. And the Bible says the father shared it, and he went, he started spraying the money, carrying girls and all these kind of things. And the Bible says, after a while, he became broke. That's what happens to wasters. A waster will eventually become very, very broke. So every money that comes to your hand, have a plan for it. Have a plan for it. Don't be swift to spend money. Don't be swift to waste money. I mean, don't be swift to waste money. Don't be swift to just push money out. As some people, once they have money, the money will just be pushing them. Oh yeah, waste me, waste me, waste me. Between January and now, there are some people that you'll be surprised. Millions have passed through their hands. Millions have passed through their hands. I have a friend who, not in Ilorin here, but in Nigeria, he's doing very well in his business. But once the money comes, even if it is, no matter how much it is, it cannot last. You just be spending, just spending, just spending. Some people will come to the room and steal part of the money, come to the house, steal part of, waste the money. Then he will start begging for 50,000. Somebody that last week was in charge of about 250 million. In 2 weeks' time, he's begging for 50,000. May your own case never be like that. Say, may your own case never be like that. One of the problems of Nigeria is waste. Waste, 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 waste. Government and resources come, they just want to blow it. There are some ministries that once it is December 1st, they spend money like anything just to waste the money before, because they will say they will take it back to treasury. Begin to waste the money. Begin to buy all sorts of things. Begin to waste the money. I heard last week that the president of Ghana has stopped the ministers from traveling abroad for now. Because he phoned one person. Phoned one person's office. The secretary said he has traveled. He phoned another minister. Secretary said he had traveled. By the time he phoned the person, they said he's also not around. He said, okay, this is how you want to waste the resource of this country. Now called the meeting and said, all the ministers in this Ghana, nobody must travel again for now. Everybody stay here in Nigeria. May the Lord give us understanding. I said, may the Lord give us understanding. It's only in Nigeria that I know that they will be paying for somebody's pilgrimage 17 times. He go for pilgrimage last year. Government paid for it and gave him like 10 million to go with it. Another year again, they go for pilgrimage again. Are they giving them something in the pilgrimage? Just a life of waste, a culture of waste. If this church were a wasteful church, the way things are now, it won't be like that. So it's important for you not to be a wasteful person if you want to move life from where you are to where you ought to be. Number two, tonight, or is that number 10, is offer solution and meet needs. If you want to move from famine to feasting, want to move from where you are to where you ought to be, no matter where you are now, you can get better. Offer solution and meet needs. If you desire to move and change level, one very important thing is to Be a solution provider in your society. Be a solution provider in the environment you find yourself. Learn to offer solution out of compassion. This way, you don't struggle for money, but money pursues you. When you offer solution out of compassion, you don't struggle in life. Money pursues you instead of you pursuing money. You are working in a place and you are a solution in the company. You don't ask for salary review. They review your salary automatically. In all the places I've worked in my life, I've never solicited for salary review before in my life. Hello, please, can you review my salary? Never. I will work that they will know that there's a solution that I need to give here. And once I give it, they review the salary. Money pursues solution givers. Those that profile solution, money always pursues them. Those that run from problems, they can't get money. It is your solving a problem that gives you money. Mechanic solves your problem when your car has a problem. He gets money for it. Somebody that produces clothes or things like that, a fashion designer, offers a solution that it relates to clothing, because you must not dress naked, God forbid, you dress naked outside. The hairdresser provides a solution to your hair, that your hair is not rough, it doesn't begin to, you just begin to look somehow, Everybody providing solution gets money. The petrol station provides a solution to ensure that your car is moving. If you are not providing any solution to anybody or any organization, there's no way you can have resources. And it is the extent of your provision of solution that determines the extent of your resources. Listen to me. It doesn't matter the kind of solution you are providing. If people value it, they will pay for it. Anything you are doing, once it is beneficial and people are benefiting from it, they will pay for it. Imagine that somebody is playing football, just football. You also can buy football somewhere now. But he is playing football, but he's playing it in a mega way. He's playing for a major team. They pay him millions of dollars for it. But the earlier you and I identify the areas that God wants us to profile solution, better. The area you know that you have discovered that you are good in this area, you feel that God is telling you or speaking to you or ministering to you for this. Once you start it little by little, and you are in it little by little, it will soon pay off for you. There's somebody here today who will be a solution to the entire nation. Say you will be a solution to the entire nation. Go to a food canteen, then you order something very good, put it in front of you. You don't just take it and go and sit down. After doing that, then you walk out. A security man can carry you to a police station for doing that. But in most places now, even before you even put the food in your mouth, the money must have exchanged hands. That is, you are offering a solution. Everyone, Chris, prayer is good. Prayer is good. I was even thinking, in the course of week, it looks like I'm becoming an addict of prayer. Sometimes I will want to sleep and will not be able to sleep because I'm thinking of prayer. Prayer is good. Wonderful. It's a wonderful, but prayer cannot solve this problem of you offering a solution to your society. Every child of God has to carve a niche for him or his or herself in a particular area. Every child of God must profile a solution in a particular field of endeavor or areas of business or areas of calling assignment. You might not get so much of resources from it today, but as you continue to profile the solution, as you continue to do, one of my former sons here, still our son till now, a former member of our church here, a student, has graduated now and traveled abroad, was speaking to me this last week. He was traveling and he phoned me for prayers and I prayed for him. He was going for a particular program. And as he left, he said when he got there, an idea came to him. A student had a problem in chemistry. He studied chemistry here, University of Ilorin here. And a student had a problem and he started teaching the student something and the father started paying him allowance. He now said, I'm making some little money from this thing. What about if I gather more students on this campus? We'll be teaching them this course. And then he went to the email. Somehow he got an email and sent email to students. I'm a tutor from Nigeria. I'm here for my master's. I can teach you chemistry if you have problem in this course. And emails started coming in. We want. Cut long story short, I asked him last week. I said, how many students do you have now? He said, sir, with due respect, I've lost count. I can't count them. There are so many. Through that, he has finished masters. He's doing PhD now. About to complete his PhD now. Jobs are waiting everywhere. Commanding good money. Because he's offering. So not money, we just say he's just teaching. He's just teaching. Okay, I hear you. He's just teaching. He's not just teaching, no. Yeah, I mustn't tell you the level of resources he commands by God's grace. Oh, your ability to profile a solution, it might look small. He's like a tutorial teacher now. What is a tutorial teacher? That is commanding multi-millions in Naira. Raising hundreds of thousands of dollars every month, every 30 days. Any area of life that you feel that God has given you talent can be, you can even start from car wash. You can start a car wash business. Car wash business does not need any capital than bucket and soap. Just bucket and soap. You look for somebody to be assisting you, if possible. I hear you. Is there any woman here that if your husband brings, we even have people here that their husbands are doing car wash. We have it here. They're doing very well. If your husband brings in money from work, will you ask him, is it car you wash today or how many? The Lord give us understanding. You know the problem we have? Most of us, we like white-collar jobs. That's the problem we have. We only think that except we get a job in a university or we get a job as international or we get a job that is somewhere. Any, the Bible says, whatsoever your hand findeth to do, do it with what? Oh, your mind. Whatsoever. I think that's Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 10 or so. Anything your hand findeth to do, anything, is at least walking in righteousness and do it well. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there's no work, no device, no knowledge, no wisdom in the grave where thou goest. It's not about a big job. And if you have the big job, then do it in a big way. If you have a big job, do it in a big way. And if you have a small job, manage the small job until the big one comes. Hello. Hello. If it's a small job, one of my daughters this evening was talking to me here. And I said, where do you work? He said, I work in so eatery. From that eatery, working as a steward in that eatery, in the future, she can have her own eatery. Nothing is too small. Just offer a solution to somebody. Just offer a solution to somebody. Just offer it. And you know one thing? There are so many opportunities available in Nigeria now for solutions. Because they call youth lazy. There are so many things that you can do. So many things that you can do. So many businesses that are available that you can do. So just pray and allow God to give you wisdom. Then you see yourself doing it. And if you see yourself, like there's a mommy, she has come here, she's very close to us. Who used to work with the government. She worked there for 35 years. After she retired, she came to me for business advice on the business she can do when they gave her money. I told her, Mommy, you need to offer a solution. One day, after I prayed, I saw that this woman, her kind of person is not a business person. So I went back to her and we spoke. And she said, you are right. I'm not really a business person. I was telling my wife recently that she has now got, she was able to get another job. It's small. Job, not a hectic job because she's over 60 something now. I saw her last week, do very well, looking agile. That's her own line. She doesn't like business. It's not everybody that will do business. But if your work is office work, do it. Offer the soul. Be almost indispensable in that office. Let me tell you, people still appreciate quality. Hello. People still appreciate quality. If you are doing hair, do it well. If you are doing clothes, sew it well. Don't sew a cloth like a cobbler. Don't sew cloth like a cobbler. Offer good solution to people's problem. Money will begin to pursue you. I'm telling one of my daughters here who came to me for prayers on Monday night here after the prayer banquet. I said, one of my family members is making hats. He's making so much money for making hats, ladies' hats, and wedding gowns. His house is in Lagos. And this. Can you imagine somebody just making hats? So she's a millionaire, multi-millionaire, hats and wedding clothes. So offer solution. You are selfish, not selfish, as in self-physical fish. If that is what you can do, do it. I see God blessing you in your field of endeavor in Jesus' name. If you can walk, you can't be poor. And walk and you can follow the covenant principles, you can't be a poor person. can walk and you can offer solution, you can't be a poor person. You are in the covenant and you can do something. There is something this your hand can do. Kai, you can't be poor. And as from today, poverty and lack will never be seen around us again. In the name of Jesus. Number, what am I on now? 11 is connect with divine inspiration if you want to move to your next level in life. Connect with divine inspiration. Divine inspiration backs provision. Isaac was planning to travel to Egypt, but God said to him, no. Genesis 26 from verse 1 to 3. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went in unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swore unto Abraham the fathers. If your desire in life is to become very prosperous and successful, connect with inspiration. Lack of inspiration brings a man into the level of expiration. When a man is not inspired, he will soon expire. When you are not inspired, he will soon expire. If your desire in life is to connect with blessings, then you must try your best to draw closer to God. And then as you draw closer to God, you begin to see visions, you begin to see dreams and revelation and insight on what next you are to do in your various businesses. Job 32 verse 8, where we say there's a spirit in man, but the inspiration of God giveth him understanding. My prayer for somebody here tonight is that the inspiration of God will give you understanding. I said the inspiration of God will give you understanding. Inspiration brings about invention. When you are inspired, you become an inventor. You create products. You create ideas. I know ideas rule the world. It's those that have ideas that are ruling the world. If you go to a place and they say, what idea do you have? You say, I don't have any idea. What can you say about it? They will not recognize you. When you are recruited to a particular organization, they are looking for ideas from you. They are asking you, what can we do on this matter? You say, I can't think of anything. When they want to prepare the next start list, they can put the person's name there. See, when we ask for idea, he doesn't have any idea. When they say, please, tomorrow submit an idea on what we can do on this matter, one, and you submit three ideas, we say, okay, we need somebody on the board. Please, can you take this? Because you will give the idea. And you connect with idea and inspiration through your connection with God. I was in an hotel in Lagos. The name of this church came to me. I was just praying. Then I was alone in the night. I was praying. And then all of a sudden, it dropped. When you stay with God, ideas on what to do next in your business, in your career, that business that is on the same spot, it can jump to a new level. And that business will jump to a new level tonight in Jesus' name. In Genesis 30, verse 35 to 43, you know the story very well of how Laban cheated Jacob. The Bible says that he cheated him several times, and suddenly God gave him an idea. Let's read a little bit of the story. And he removed that day the he-goats that were ring-strecked and spotted, and all the she-goats that were specked and spotted, and everyone that had some white in it, and all the brown among the sheep, and gave them into the hands of his son. Now, wait there before you go forward. Just wait there first. Let me give you a background of this story. Jacob had served Laban for a very long time. He served for the first daughter, Leah. He served for the second daughter, Rachel. Right? The years were passing by. Years were passing by. He had nothing except wives and children. His only asset was wives and plenty children. Nothing to show in his life. He was just pursuing the man's sheep all up and down. Until God started seeing how he was being cheated and cheated and cheated. And he said, see, it's time for God to also bless me. The man said, okay, don't go yet. This is what I will do. These are the kind of goats that will be your own. If these goats are available, I will give it to you. If these kind of sheep are available in the flock, they will be your own. The day he said that, he now removed all those goats that had those kind of marks. He removed everything. The Bible says he gave them to his own sons. So how is it possible for him to ever become blessed in life? When what you promise him, you have already removed it from amongst the sheep. Let's go to verse 36. And he set 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob. and Jacob fed the rest of Laban. He still continued in his faithfulness. People will look at him like a mumu. Ah, this man is cheating you. This man is cheating you. Yet, let's go on, please. I can't finish the story because of time, but I'll just move on. Jacob took his rod of green poplar and of the hazel and chestnut tree and peeled white streaks in them and made white hair which was in the rod. The summary of this story is that the first genetics, or what you call veterinary medicine kind of formation, came from this man through inspiration. It inspired him and showed him what to do for him to produce the kind of sheets that would be his own. Suddenly, his life changed. That is how suddenly inspiration will make your life to change. And all of a sudden, everybody was aghast, because the Bible says that he now became very, very rich. And he became very, very wealthy. And Jacob did separate the lamb. And the man increased exceedingly and had much cattle. The same man that was very broke before. That is how very soon your enemies will be surprised at what God will do in your life. I say your enemies will be surprised at what God will do in your life. Go back to that place. Let me finish it. And the man increased exceedingly and had much cattle and maid servant and men servant and camels and asses. The same man that had nothing. I'm trying to let you know the importance of inspiration. Nobody taught Jacob this thing. Nobody sat in. He didn't go to any university to learn it. He didn't go to any university to learn it. He learned it through inspiration. And I pray that the inspiration of God that will come to you today will change your life permanently. It will change your life permanently. It will change your life permanently. When you are inspired, you will not retire, but you will refire. When you are inspired, you will not retire. You will refire. That's why you saw people when they look as if they should retire. Because of the inspiration of God upon their life, they will keep firing on. They will keep firing on. Yeah, but you are looking, you are already old. You say, I'm old. It might look as if I'm old in body, but in mind, I'm not old. I pray that the inspiration of God will come upon you today. The inspiration of God will come upon you today. It will come upon you in the night season. It will come upon you in the day season. That little business you are doing at the backyard of your house, God will enlarge it. That product you are producing, God will make it go global. Your product will go global. It will go national. It will go international. It's time for us to move beyond this tanker pipeline lowering level. It's time to go national. It's time to go international. Hello. So all the money in the lorry cannot handle the kind of vision that we are seeing. So many people here have to be raised. Hello. You have to be raised. Many here have to be raised so that things can work. And it will happen. I say it will happen. In our lifetime, we will see people become very great. In our lifetime, we will see people become very great. From your businesses alone, you will drop $1 billion for the gospel. From your businesses, you alone, you will build a whole church from foundation to finish. Let me hear your loudest amen. By the grace of God, you alone, you will take over the entire transportation system. You buy the buses and you fund the diesel every week. Through the wealth in your hands. Let me hear you say a big amen. As God liveth, as you are spending it, it will not get finished. Say a big amen. But this will only come through inspiration. Today, I see God inspiring you. He will give you ideas. I say he will give you ideas. He will give you ideas. Somebody is here. The solution to the problem in your company, God will give it to you. The solution to the problem in your company, God will give it to you. Say a bigger amen. Say a louder amen. I discovered that one of the easiest way for you to experience promotion in your place of work is when you have inspiration. Years ago, while I was working in a particular organization, a particular guy was on a table and he was not doing well, so he was sent out and I was placed there. And I went to God, I said, God, I must not fail here. Before that time, my promotion was not fast as it should be. That particular session, that particular period. But within a twinkle of an eye, because of just new ideas introduced, new things introduced, cost was cut by 50%. The management recognized me and said, this young boy, let us lift him up. This is how God is going to lift you in your own place of work. Suddenly, boom, an idea will come to you that even the minister and the president will hear about it. Say a bigger amen. Say a bigger amen. Number 12, to move from famine to feasting is be faithful in all you do. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 20. Proverbs 28, verse 20. Be faithful. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. A faithful man shall abound. So when you are faithful, there is no way you will not command resources. Any assignment you are doing, do it as if that is the last assignment you will ever do in life. Anything they mistakenly commit to your hands, I want to beg you, overdo it, don't underdo it. Go beyond what they say you should do, don't do below. When you do below what they said you should do, you have tarnished God's image. Because they will begin to say, the Christians, I want to hear people that, some people will say that, I hate employing Christians. They are very lazy. They are very, very lazy. Because early in the morning like this, they want to read like 14 chapters of the Bible at work in the morning, which they should have read at home. Those kind of words, they don't make God happy at all. Any assignment you are given, let faithfulness be added to it. What does it mean to be faithful? It means to be committed in what you are doing. Be committed. Number two, to be faithful means to be consistent. You are consistent. You are consistent in your assignment. You are at work when you should be at work. You are not asking for casual leave all the time. You are not asking for casual leave, casual leave, casual leave, casual leave, casual leave. All the time. Three, to be faithful means to be available to serve. To be available. When you are available to serve, it means you are faithful. You are available to serve. 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 And number D, what does it mean to be faithful? It means to be reliable and to be dependable. People can rely on you, can give you money, and the money will not get lost. They can give you a check, and you will not embezzle the check. They can give you a whole business, and the business will not crumble before the founder or whoever is in charge is there back. That's what they call faithfulness. They can rely on you. They can rely on you. They can rely on you. A prayer for somebody here today is that the spirit of reliability and dependability comes for somebody in the name of Jesus. As I begin to round up, David was faithful to Saul. That's why his life changed. David was faithful to Saul, very faithful to Saul. Even despite the fact that Saul was a hard man, wanted to even kill him, he was still faithful to him. Joseph was faithful to Potiphar, despite the fact that Potiphar did not even wait to listen to the true story. Did he actually do this thing? I mean, did he not do? If so, you say somebody has done something wrong, at least you should listen first. Say your own story. He did not even allow him to say anything. He just threw him straight into the prison. He was still faithful to him. He suffered in faithfulness. But because of that faithfulness, God lifted him up. In your current faithfulness, God will use it to lift you up. God will use it to lift your family up. Do you know that Joseph's faithfulness affected his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim? His faithfulness in service. When Joseph's father died, Jacob, when he died, all Egypt, everybody packed themselves and followed him to Canaan for the burial. As in everybody, only sheep. Bible says, go and read your Bible very well. In Genesis chapter 49. Only sheep were left. Genesis chapter 49 and 50. 50 particularly. Only sheep were left. Everybody left. Everybody followed him for his father's burial. Because he was a, they say this man is, anywhere you're going to bury your father, we'll follow you there. A faithful man. Faithful man. A faithful man. A faithful man. Faithful man. Of course, Daniel was faithful in Babylon. And because of that, he became very prosperous. And they hated him. Daniel was inside Babylon. And people hated him. Because Daniel was a stranger. Many of us here are not even from Kwara State. And you're a stranger here. And because of that, some people are still, they are giving you problems and issues. It's very, very important that you remain faithful. Because even as you remain faithful, I see God blessing you and changing your story in Jesus' name. Because these people were faithful. And because of that, we are still talking about them today. Joseph was blessed. David was blessed. Abraham was blessed because of faithfulness. Daniel was blessed because of faithfulness. Esther was blessed because of faithfulness. You are the next name we are going to be mentioning. I say it is your name we are going to be mentioning next. It is your name we are going to be mentioning next. Let me hear your loudest amen. To round up tonight, counsel under faithfulness. Decide to be faithful at all costs. Decide. Make up your mind to be faithful. Anything that God has given you to do, decide to be faithful at all costs. Do all you can to be faithful. So recently, somebody told me a story of of someone who was had a very big shop, very big one, and had many ladies, many young ladies selling. One day, he just came to the shop, said, "All of you, come out here." Said, "If you know that you have not been stealing my money, stand here. If you know you have been stealing my money, stand here." Everybody stood at the side of not stealing their money. Okay. Said, "Okay, if you are a Christian, come out and take this Bible and swear. If you have been stealing my money, that God should judge you. But if you have not been stealing my money, that God should bless you." He said, "But if you cannot swear, say, from where you are now, you go out, you can't walk here again." Almost every one of those girls to leave that place on that spot. Many could not swear that they have not been stealing the man's money. It's what they call unfaithfulness. Many of us that desire, I was counseling somebody this week. I said, every time we are a man is unfaithful, he is elongating his period in suffering. He's elongating the period that he's going to continue to suffer. Faithfulness always pays. Counsel number two. Counsel one is decide to be faithful at all costs. Number two, maintain a predictable work plan. Always have a work plan. Plan your day. Don't waste your day. When we say waste is not only money. Waste of time. Don't waste your day. Don't squander your day. Plan your time. Plan this time I should be in church. This time I should read my Bible. This time I should be in the office. This time I should be at the prayer banquet. This time I should be in my children's school to pick them. This time I should be in so-so place. This time I should be in so-so place. You plan your time. And see, counsel on the issue of faithfulness is keep your promises. Every promise you have said out, I will do this, I will do that, I will do this, I will do that, I will do this. Some young boys, honestly speaking, ladies were to be cursing them. They will have problem for life. Because they have promised so many girls marriage. Somebody will say, "What about if they did not promise?" You don't need to say, "I promise you marriage." Your action. If you are continually drawing too close to a lady, continually, he's already thinking that, maximum of 9 months from now, I'm already in this guy's house. And all of a sudden, you just withdraw again. Keep your promises. When you are promised a business partner that, see, this is that we will share this profit 50-50. Share it 50-50. If you have said, "We will share it 80-20, I will take 20, you take 80. Give it to him. Keep your anything you have promised that you are going to do, try as much as possible to do. That's why you must not be a politician. Don't be quick to promise. Be quick to make promises. I'll do it. Don't be anything that you have promised. I said, "I will do this thing. I promise you that I will do it." Please do it. Prayer is that each and every one of us here will move from that level where you are now to that height that God has promised you. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Rise up on your feet tonight.
Wow, I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. Appreciate you.